world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is one of those mornings where I need about a month. I'm not kidding. There's a confluence of events that's going on that it really, if you look at it with spiritual eyes, it'll begin to make a little bit more sense to you. And I would like all of you to do this, as hard as it might be. Let's just all pretend for a little bit that there is no such thing as end time theology. Let's all just pretend here for a little bit that to the victor goes the spoils. That we're in a culture and we're in a society where Jesus isn't going to take us out of here. Just pretend now. And that strongest team wins. And ask yourself, if we have that mentality, if the American Christians have that mentality, and come to the realization, I got several things. It's going to be good, okay? I promise you, it's going to be good. Come to the realization that one of the problems that we're really, really fighting with is the media is the deep state. They are the deep state. It is their information arm. And the media penetrates into your home, into everybody's home, in your car, on your internet, everywhere, penetrates in with a false narrative. False narrative. Do you really think, folks, the news media is for a political reformation? Do you think the news media who, remember, follow the money, right? Lord, just let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think the media wants an upheaval in the current system? Or are they so deeply entrenched and so deeply connected in making money hand over foot by propagating a false narrative that they ain't going to give up? They ain't going to give up, man. Because if all this reformation that everybody's talking about comes in, somebody's going to be left holding the bag. The media is the deep state. They hate reform. Can somebody explain to me why anybody would be against cutting government waste? Why would anybody be against that? Aren't we all looking for deals? If somebody came knock on your door and said, hey, I can save you a few bucks on that. Wouldn't you say, heck yeah, count me in. And so we look at them trying to say whatever you want to about Musk. Quit getting caught into personalities. Whatever you say about Musk or whatever you say about Trump, ask yourself a very simple question. Does the government need reformed or not? Does the government need reformed? What? It needs reformed, doesn't it? And if the government needs reformed, who's going to scream the loudest? All those who are being reformed. They don't want their system broken up. It's right in front of them. That's right. And so I'm going somewhere today because, oh my goodness, this will be as Winston Churchill said, this will be our finest hour. This could be the church's finest hour. What if we all got a message from God? What if the eastern sky split and Jesus said to us, hey, sorry, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not going to take you out of here. Endure to the end. Whoever wins gets dominion. What would be the response of the church if he did that? What would be our response? Would we stand up and fight? Would we once again see evil as our enemy rather than as someone or something we're supposed to love? Love your enemies, it says. Love them. Well, how do you love your enemies? You tell them the truth. You tell them the truth. You stand up and you defend the truth against them. If you really, really love them, Jesus is love, they tell us. Well, love is truth. They're the same. And the church can't wait to allow every deviant, unbiblical form of whatever to invade America, and the church sits back confused about love, about what love is. And the most amazing thing here at the Dobenmeyer house yesterday, all 10 of our grandbabies were here yesterday, last night. And I sat on the front porch And I watched them run around and interact with each other. And I thought, Lord, this is unbelievable. This is what it's all about. Those little bumpkins right there. It's what it's all about, them. And here I sit up here on this porch, content in my life. I could, you know, I'm 72 years old. I could just roll out the next few years. Maybe I'll make it another 10. Maybe I could just sit back and I don't smoke cigars, but I could get a cigar. I sit back and smoke my cigar and get in my easy chair and watch it all. But my grandkids, they're going to live here. They're going to live in what I leave them. And the church, the Christians in particular, we have become, I love the term, so heavenly conscious, we're no earthly good. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go ye into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, that's the gospel. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm going to New Orleans this weekend. Michelle and I are going down to Dale. Looking forward to that. Thank you for the invite down there. Don't forget the annual. Hey, look, I wrote a couple things up here real quick. I'm going to get into it. Got a lot going on here. Be right with you. Hey, the annual event, June, what is it, 13, 14, 15? Come on, man. Just come. We're still scheduling it. I want you to think about this. Liberty Mel, she had a great idea. I might just get some 15 people tents. People can sleep in tents if you want to. So, because hotels are hard to get, yada, yada, yada. We're working on a lot of different things. If you would be interested maybe in sleeping in a big, like 15, put women in one tent and men in another tent just for a couple nights and cut down your expenses, I'll go out and get us some tents and do that. We want you to come, man. We want you. Now, this is so important. This time we have together is so important. I just ask that you would make that a priority. And I'm going to say something else to you real quickly. I shifted gears on it. I don't know if you picked up on that. Folks, organize an event. Organize a Coach Dave Live. I would love to come to your town. You say, Coach, I don't even know how. Well, can you get 10 people? Can you get 15 people? Let's come. Let's get organized. We have got to get organized. Let me pull it up here real quickly. Pull up, Spencer. I just sent it to you at the last minute, I think. No, I didn't. Oh, I got to show you that for sure. Pull up Matthew 16. It's number 1B, Matthew 16. I'm going to ask you this. Hang on. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him and asked him, this is what, the New King James, I think. He said, hey, show us a sign from heaven. And he said to them, when it's evening, you say, it's going to be good weather. The sky's red. And in the morning. And if it's red in the morning, you go say, whoa, it's going to be foul weather for the sky's red and threatening. Jesus said, you hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times? Hey, folks, can you discern what's going on around us right now in the American government? Can you discern the sign of the time? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand it's an hour and never? Do you understand it's a wrestling match? Do you understand it's an upheaval? Do you understand it's an opportunity for the church to get engaged and change the direction that this nation has gone? But you can't believe, you can't see it if you believe it's a sign that things are only going to get worse. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and he departed. He said, boys and girls, can you see what's going on around you? Are you smart enough to see what's going on around you? And are you going to miss this opportunity to get involved? Now, by the way, that's the way I read it. I don't know how you read it. That's the way I read it. He said, are you smart enough to look out and see what's going on? The upheaval that's going on in the American government. Are you smart enough to see that? Can you read the signs of the time? Can you see the clash and the battle that's going on in front of you? And if you do, are you going to get involved? Are you hypocrites? You're just going to sit around? Yep, there comes a storm. There comes another storm. Man, oh, man. We got to get into Psalm 23 here in a minute. Bear with me. I got to show you this. Spencer, pull up Satanic. I saw this yesterday. I don't even know what to say. This is some ritual now that the Pope is dead. I don't know what this is. It says these actually predate the KKK. Folks, watch this. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? I'm not going to read it anymore. Put it in the chat. What is this? What is this? Can you enlarge it? This is a church. What the hell? Oh my goodness. Hey, can you guys, anybody see the weather? Anybody see the signs of the times? Oh my goodness, my goodness, my, they're going to give us a new pope. It's going to be a big fight because the old pope appointed his buddies, bunch of libs sitting in the Vatican, bunch of libs, God-hating libs, really. Wow, folks. Hey, folks, you see the clouds? Can you see the clouds? What are we going to do? See the clouds? Yeah. You wonder why half of the Catholic Church votes for abortion. Huh? Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, hang on. I know Craig's itching to get in here. I got some... I'll stop right there. Oh, that's good. It's going to be good. Stay with me. Craig, I'll let you come in here. I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, that's okay.
Hang on a second, Craig. Before you do, let me get Deb and Mel in here real quickly. Go ahead, Deb. Go ahead, unmute yourself, Deb. Go ahead, Mel, while Deb figures that.
Yeah, I have an event to announce. Scott Scher contacted me over the weekend, and Grace's trial has been set to start on June 3rd and go for 3 weeks. So, Spencer, I don't know if you can bring that up or not, but it's on the Liberty Action Network page under events. And I've got a link that if you're in the Wisconsin area, it's going to be at the Outagamie, sorry if I mispronounced that, county courthouse in Appleton, Wisconsin. I sent the information over to Ray. But yeah, they'd like to pack the courtroom. They'd like to have people outside. And they're asking for people to pray that the hearts would be convicted before, during, and after the trial, believing that God already knows the outcome of the case. And he has the ability to accomplish his will in ways that are supernatural. So anyway, I put just some preliminary information there. We've got a few weeks if we want to organize something for that. But if you're not familiar with Grace's case, it was kind of a wrongful death during COVID. And Coach, I don't know if you can speak to that or not. But anyway, it'd be a great thing for us to support. Thanks.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Thanks, Mel. Mel's always on top of it. There's a lot of things that we need to support. And I've got to figure out how to do this because it's in Wisconsin and it's 3 weeks. So, you know, it's not like it's across the street and I can go to the courtroom area. We have to figure out what's going on. And, you know, what's going on with Dr. Paul Goslin. Look, I don't get drugged down a rabbit trail today because I got someplace I'm trying to go. Folks, there's a devil loose. There's a devil loose. Do you understand this? Do you understand the spirit? Does your church understand that we are in the spiritual war, not only for the future of America, but for the future of Western civilization? Do you understand that or not? We're talking in the pre-show about Muslims, how many Muslims there are in America right now, taking over the mosque. Talk about, hang on. I'm going somewhere. Where is it? Pull up number three. Did anybody see this? Pull up number three. No. Yeah, pull up number three. Did anybody see this? Huh? Anybody see this? They think it's a good thing. See, it's a good thing Christians are being persecuted because that means Jesus is coming. That's the way we think. I've never seen anything like it in my life. A.G. Pam Bondi officially launches Eradicating Anti-Christian Bias Task Force. Look, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So if I go to work, I ought to be able to say transgenderism is wrong. They cannot silence it. You understand? So now the Attorney General sees how serious it is trying to wake up the friggin' church. And so the government's going to fight back against anti-Christian bias. What? Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you better look at number four. Huh? Maybe you ought to look at number four. The silent, well, not something, I'll come back to that. Where is it? Hang on. Number five, pull up number five. President of the United States, eradicating anti-Christian bias. President of the United States, proclamation. How come the government can see it and the church can't? Or The church thinks it's good because it's a sign of the end time. It says in the book of Acts, the more they persecuted them, the more they prospered and grew. What? Yes, persecution makes you fight back, not roll over. Jesus Christ is not welcome in your child's, grandchild's public school. Name not allowed to be mentioned. Transgenderism, homophobia, all that other stuff's welcome. Coach, that's a sign of the times. Jesus just told us it's going to get worse. No, he didn't. He told us, can you see the storm clouds coming? Can you see the storm clouds? Well, do something when you see the storm clouds. We got some storm clouds coming, friends. And the church sits silently. I know I'm all over the place. I know I'm all over the place, man. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, hang on. Let me take a deep breath. Look, I need affirmation. Somebody say, Coach, we're with you, man. We're with you, Coach. Somebody say, just make me feel good.
Boom.
Thanks, Vinny. That's all I need. I just need one. Just if there's one person out there other than me that sees what's going on and somebody help me out. Yes or no, is Christ and Christianity and the church the answer to all the problems? Yes. Then why are we waiting for an evacuation? Can somebody help explain that to me? I don't get it. You guys know what it means in a football game to take a knee? Hey, Brett, you out there, Brett?
Yes, sir.
Brett, what's it mean in a football game to take a knee?
Well, it depends on what side you're on. I love the victory formation when it means you're winning. You take a knee. Someone's hurt on the field, you take a knee.
So, Brett, if we're way ahead and we know the game's won, out of mercy, we take a knee. In other words, they snap the ball to it and the quarterback goes down on the ground. Doesn't even run a play because we're beating them. Hey, Brett, the church is taking a knee. See, the church thinks the evacuation of Christianity out of here is victory. No. The victory is expanding the kingdom of God. Go ye into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And the way I read it, no taking a knee. Somebody read that differently?
Agreed.
The Christian church takes a knee. All of these moral issues surrounding us, the church, for the most part, when I use that term, we use it broadly, the church doesn't get involved, won't get involved with it. The leftist church will, but God's church won't get involved. Say, Coach, you say the same thing every day. I hear you, honey. That's what my wife would say. It's the core issue, friends. It is the core. It is the core. It is the church's job to be the salt and light. That is our job. Not Republicans. Not Lindsey Graham. Not Lindsey Graham. Not George Bush. Not George W. Bush. Not George H.W. Bush. Not Jeb Bush. No. Not Bill Clinton. Not Hillary Clinton. No. It's the job of the church. And isn't it amazing? Again, people will hate Trump, and what's he doing? Pull that proclamation back up. What did Trump do? He write a proclamation against anti-Christian bias. Eradicating anti-Christian bias. Again, I'll say it. He's inviting the church in. Come on in, church. Come on in, church. Hey, church, come on in. Come on in. See, we live in a country now. Spencer, I'm sorry. Hang on. I'll get to you. Pull up LifeWise. LifeWise. You guys are familiar with LifeWise? Betty knows about LifeWise. LifeWise Academy. During school hours, every week, tens of thousands of public school students legally attend LifeWise Bible classes. So what do they do with LifeWise? I support LifeWise. What they do is they go in, they get a busload of kids from your school, they take them to a local church, and they teach them about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you something. Is that what the church is supposed to do? Pull out the Christians? Pull them out? Or are we supposed to take the gospel to them? What do you mean we have to pull them out to teach them about Christ? What the heck? What? I'm for LifeWise. I'm not against it. I'm for LifeWise. But it shows again how the church can... Is there Christian Day? Celebrate Christian Month at the public school? Yeah, is that... Do we, all across America, do we have a Jesus is Lord month? Do they, church at schools, as far as I know, practice Ramadan, don't they? Some of the inner cities, Ramadan. They said, well, coach, that's like Christmas. What? No, no, no. Every day should be teaching children morality. Part of the educational process, morality. If you taught children morality, you wouldn't have to worry about gun control because they would have heart control. If we taught them morality, we won't teach them morality. Why? Might offend a Muslim. Might offend an atheist. Might offend a homo. Might offend a tranny. Come on, you with me? Are you with me? It's a freaking war. We won't fight. We won't fight. Oh, I'm about done there. I'm about done. I'm looking over at my list. Can you, huh? Can you guys believe that this daggone Trump, this pagan Trump, this wife, this adulterer, this he's fighting for anti-Christian bias? Shake your head, folks. It ain't about Trump. It's about the open door to the church. Wow. Okay, pull up number 6. I think I did that, didn't I? Maybe not. Pulled up there. I'm working up a sweat. Now how about this? Well, JR, I don't know if you're listening. I'm going to have you on here tomorrow. We're going to talk about natural family model. How about this? Look at this. What? These parents removed their kids from school. Supreme Court is about to hear why. So parents are raising up and saying, We're not going to put our kids in that freaking school and pay for that anymore when they're not teaching our values. See, folks, how can you possibly have a valueless education? How can you have an education where there's nothing right and nothing wrong? The only thing that is against the law is judging, is pointing out that something is wrong. That's the only thing that's illegal. And so parents are finally starting to say, enough of this crap. Enough of this crap. You're not going to teach this to my children. You're not going to do this. An interfaith coalition of parents gathered protest outside Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond. Huh? Let parents be, do not teach that crap to my children.
Boom.
All right. Let me exhale. All right. We're going to do Psalm 23 today. And Craig's going to talk a little bit about that before. Hey, so we love you, Coach. We love you, Coach. You don't have to say it. My wife loves me. Love you, Coach. Love you, Coach. I can't believe, I just can't for the life of me. Somebody help me out. Can you believe how weak the American church is? Can you believe how weak we are? Hey, Spencer, real quickly. What percentage of Americans consider themselves Christians? Google that. What percentage of Americans consider themselves Christian? It's going down every year, of course. Right now, it says what? Evangelicals make up 25 to 35% of the population. That's 2022. That's evangelicals, whatever that. See, an evangelical is different than a Protestant getting whatever, huh? Christianity in the United States. Pull that one up on Wikipedia. There it is. As of 2020, 64% of Americans identify as Christian. Yet we can't talk about it in school. What percentage of people consider themselves to be transgender? And we talk about that. What percentage of Americans tend to be homosexual? We talk about that. 70% of Americans claim to be Christian. 70%. Can't talk about that. Oh, no, can't be talking about that. Why? Passive, cowardly. Who am I to judge American Christianity? Money-driven, huh? Money-driven. You say bad things about the world, and a lot of Christians quit coming. They want to go feel good. I'm sorry, I'm off. Deb, you still got your hand up. I don't know if you want to get in there, but it's distracting me. If you do, come on in now, or please take your hand. Or I'll just ignore it. All right, Craig, come on in. Come on in here, Craig. Let's talk about Psalm 23. We're wrapping this thing up here today. Hey, Craig, I don't know if you can tell this or not. I'm about to freaking explode. I cannot believe what I see going on in our society, and the church is silent. I can't even believe it. Our government is very apparently stealing us blind. Would everybody agree with that? They are putting children in generational debt. And then when we try to do something about it, they yell about Trump and Elon Musk isn't an American citizen and he just wants to do it for more money. And I'm just telling you. Because why? It goes back to where I started. The media is the deep state. The media is the information arm of the deep state. The media does not want a smaller, more efficient government. They don't want one. Why? Because they are connected to it. That's what feeds them. That's how they make their money. So therefore, Trump is, what is Trump? I don't know. He's wicked. Anti-American, anti-government. However, he does want to bring Christ back into the government. Church. Boom. Go ahead, Craig. Somebody better, I'm going to get a sock put in my mouth.
Well, maybe we could start with pull up Daniel 10:4 to start with. So I was reading this about a month ago, and it talks about Daniel, and it's the explanation of Daniel chapter 9. It says, on the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, that is Tigris. I lifted up
by the way, let me stop, Greg. That must be important, folks. The 24th day of the first month. That date must be important. Go ahead, Greg.
And a certain man, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold and Euphaz, his body was like beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. So sometimes some men see visions and others don't, right? But a terror fell upon me so that they fled and hid themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned off to frailty in me and retained in strength. Yes, as you pointed out, in the first month. So this is God's calendar, the first month. And when I started to think about it, a lot of things happened in the first month. The Exodus happened in the first month. The Passover happened. Okay, all these things are happening. And it just put in my heart that if Daniel can fast and pray for 21 days and give up something and get an answer from the Lord, maybe I can, and maybe some other people will come alongside and do the same thing. And so I did this, and I got confirmation in this because some other people in the queue who I talked to, some of them, like Randy, had already been, like the Lord said, you should be fasting for 21 days before we even started this, right? So there's other people that the Lord's telling them to do this. So I felt, wow, this is important to do. So what we did is we basically tried to mirror the time that Daniel's fast was, which was basically he was seeing the glorious man on the 24th day. So let's subtract 3 weeks. And guess what? You come to basically April 2nd. So since April 2nd on your show during the week, we've been going through this. And I like to always, when we do these events, I like to see what goes on in the world, because I do believe God's on the throne and prayer changes things. I believe that's still true. So I just want to kind of highlight before we go into Psalm 23 and finish it up. And I want to thank the people who committed to giving up something for 21 days. Okay. You know, Jesus said some of these things only go out by fasting and prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the things that we're talking about are pretty high level spiritual entities. Anyways, so on April 6th, you know, President Netanyahu comes in for a hastily arranged meeting. This was not a scheduled meeting, all right? Now, they say it was about the tariffs, which probably it might be, but also it was about the striking of Iran. And if you continue to read in Daniel chapter 10, this glorious man, and you can figure out who you think that is, talks about from the day that your prayers went up, I was withheld by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Right. Persia is Iran. Okay. Yep. Now we know that we are very well poised to go to war with Iran. We got B-2 bombers over there. We got two aircraft carrier fleets over there. We have all these troops that are surrounding this particular area, and we are at the precipice of people losing their lives, including our own servicemen. So one of the prayers that we had on the Liberty Mail under the click and print was is to pray that the Prince of Peace, which is Christ, would intervene, and if there is any possible means of a peaceful solution in God's will, that at least that would be done. And so I believe that this is an acknowledgement that God was hearing our prayers in this, because for whatever reason, President Trump has postponed it, and we're still continuing talking with them, including up to this Saturday. So that was the first thing. Then on April 14th, this is kind of a strange thing. So they send up these six females and Jeff Bezos, it's called Blue Origin. But what I found ironic is, and this ties into Psalm 23, is it's called New Shepherd. Do you see it over there? So now that's Gail King coming out. Now Gail King is Oprah Winfrey's best friend. But then of course you got Katy Perry. And what the heck is Katy Perry up there? This is mockery in the spiritual realm of the things.
Amen.
Okay. Yep. So that happened, but guess what? The door situation didn't work out too well. So it's like, that's God, right. What, when they try to mock God, God mocks them. Remember when Elijah was saying, the ball, where's your God? Is he going to the bathroom? Why isn't he coming here? And stuff like that. So right. This is the same type of thing. So then what happens is the Pope, he passes away, right? And this is pretty unexpected. I mean, it wasn't like he was in the hospital on a respirator. I mean, he was getting better, and so he gets wheeled out. He goes for a ride in a Pope mobile, meets with J.D. Vance, and then all of a sudden he has a stroke. Well, I want to take you back to the Council of Parties, which is the thing about the climate change back in 2023, because we did another one of those things. Ironically, Henry Kissinger at 100 years old died right in the middle, right at the beginning of that, when we were beginning to pray that, Lord, don't let this new world order pieces pull into place here. Okay, so there's a little history of that. And then finally, on the same day, Klaus Schwab steps down after 50 years of the helm of the World Economic Forum.
Do you understand this, folks? The Pope dies, Klaus Schwab steps down. Folks, do you understand this?
Same day. And so what I'm just saying is whatever's going on, the Lord's involved in this.
Something's going on.
These events that are happening at the same time that we're praying, okay, are setting up for the next thing. So if you read Psalm 23 today, and we read Psalm 22, which is very powerful, it speaks of Christ on the cross. Remember, this is the time of the crucifixion and the first 8 days after first fruits and unleavened bread and all this stuff. It all kind of ends up here right now. It's kind of done with. But during this period of time, we were in this spiritual time of the crucifixion and risen of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So someone read Psalm 23, we'll finish up our fast, and we'll thank the Lord for his graciousness to hear our prayers of intercession for our people, our nation, our world, and for Jesus Christ to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. Well, I'll read it, Craig. It's up there. I'll try not to give too much of a editorial comment as I read. Folks, it's important you do that. When you read, ask yourself, well, Jeff, I'll get to you in a minute. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean, want? I want a lot of stuff. I want a lot of stuff. What do you mean, shall not want? Want. I shall not want. Knowing what? The Lord's going to provide the provision for me. I'm not going to sit around and worry about it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. So we're being led in the path of righteousness because we're representing him. We're doing it for his name's sake. Not about us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not the valley of death, the shadow of death. Shadow isn't real. It's the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to be afraid. I see the shadow. I'm not going to be afraid because you're with me. Your rod, your correction, and your direction comfort me. I'm trusting you, Lord. You're going to crack me with a rod when I need it and tap me with thy staff when I need that. Because you're going to prepare a table before me right in the front of the World Economic Forum. Right in front of them. And you're going to anoint my head with oil. There's going to be so much oil that your cup's going to run over. There's never a lack, ever, ever a lack in Jesus' provision. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hang on. Goodness and mercy isn't out in front of you, folks. Behind you. You're the wedge buster. You're the hedgerow cleaner. You come through, goodness and mercy's behind you. Makes it better for everybody else. You get that? You go to church and you hear about how much Christ died for you. He did everything for you, for you. You have no obligation. You. No. You go through, it's going to be hard. You have oil on your head. It's going to be really, really tough. It's going to be like a valley of a shadow of death. It's going to be really, really difficult. But hey, goodness and mercy is behind you. It's going to be easier for the next guy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ain't heaven. That ain't heaven, the house of the Lord. The kingdom's come into you. The kingdom's within you. I'm going to live within that kingdom forever. Kingdom's within me. Wow. My phone, stop it. Where am I? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that it? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty simple. There's nothing hard there about it. Not hard to understand. You're going to go through rough times. You go through rough times. It's going to be for your better good or for somebody else's better good. You know this. He's your shepherd. He ain't going to lead you down a bad path. He's going to walk you by the valley of shadow of death. You're going to feel like you're going to die. Man, oh man, it's going to feel like it, but his rod and his staff's going to comfort you. He's going to lead you on through it. And what, when you get at the end of it, he's going to put a table in front of you, right in front of all your enemies. And all your enemies, those who tried to bring you down, right in front of all of them, he's going to say, make you a big old chicken dinner right there in front of all of them. And he's going to come over. He's going to anoint your head with oil. He's going to have so much oil, anointing. Anointing's oil. He's going to have so much anointing, it's just going to run all over you. And whether you like it or not, goodness and mercy is behind you, man. Everywhere you go, you're leaving goodness and mercy. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's deep, isn't it? It's pretty deep. We worry so much about ourselves and so little about others. We spend so little time being the salt of the earth. Pull that up, Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Pull it up. Now, I'll get you. Hang on. I got a really thick anointing on me today. And seeing the multitudes, he opened his mouth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they. See, folks, hard times make strong people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. That meek doesn't mean weak. Meek means controlled. Blessed are the meek. It's a picture of a wild stallion with a bridle on him. You're meek. You're controlled. You're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I do that. You guys do that? You hunger and thirst after righteousness. Want a righteous government, righteous educational system. You want a righteous country for my children. I do. Blessed are the merciful and blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not the peacekeepers, peacemakers. Peacemaker, wait till your father gets home. He's the peacemaker. Mom's the peacekeeper. She keeps you from fighting with your brothers and sisters. And she says, you wait till your dad gets home. So blessed are those who make peace, not keep it. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Blessed are you. There you go. Blessed are you. Do you notice? Stop a minute, Spence. I'm sorry, I've done this before. You guys notice they change pronouns? Anybody notice the change of pronouns? Hmm? Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. And then all of a sudden, blessed are you. When? When the world loves you. Everybody loves you. And they say, you just a toast of the town. You just, oh yeah, that boy, you're really blessed. When you get elected to government and you get put money in your pocket. Oh yeah, you're really, no. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. See, there's a real blessing that comes with persecution. Real blessing. You know what that blessing is? I've lived it. Makes me dig in. It makes me dig in. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of lies about you for my sake. They don't, coach, it's not you they're after. It's me in you. Don't ever forget that. Hear that, friends? It's not you they're after. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory they're after. That's who they're after. They want to do everything they can to besmirch you, the Christ in you. So when they revile you and persecute and say all manner of evil against you, falsely rejoice. What? Yeah, for great is your reward in heaven. Kingdom's within you. Because they persecuted all those prophets who were before you. Could take you to Hebrews 11. I'm all over the place here. I'm really feeling this today, man. This could be our finest hour. This will be our finest hour. If we'll just stand up and fight. Hey, Spencer, real quickly. What percentage of people are homosexual or transgender? Folks, you do understand homosexuals, transgenders, abortion people, that is the devil's team. That's the Democratic Party. Republican Party is no better, really. But that's the minorities. It's a conglomerate of minorities. Today, 9%, do you guys believe this? Do you believe that 9% of people you run into are LGBTQ? You believe that? Meaning, you know, all the people, let's say you know 100 people. Let's say you know 1,000 people. You think you know 1,000 people? I think I probably know 1,000 people. You know 100? 100 LGBTQs? You know 100? I don't know. They lie. They lie to us, right? 6% of adults. No. 0.6. 0.6. Not even 1 out of 100 identify as transgender. Not even 1 in 100. Not even. Pew Research from 2022 found that approximately 5%, 1 out of 20. You don't believe this, do you? Believe that 1 out of every 20 say their gender is different from the sex. You don't believe that, do you? Wow. I'm all over the place here. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It all connects. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, in the scripture.
Tyranny of the minority. We have the tyranny of the minority. That's what's going on. Because those of us who carry the name of Christ, who are the majority, will not demand majority rule. Look, dude, you can be a queer if you want to, but you ain't getting married. Huh? Yep. You can be a queer if you want to, but you're not going to teach my children. I'm sorry, I'm not going to hire you to teach my children. You want to be a queer? You want to be a tranny? God bless you. Go be one, but don't be expected to be treated as if you're normal. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, in the scripture, there's two words in there. You explain what they really mean, meek and peacemakers. But 95% of these churchgoers don't understand the meek and peacemakers. So I'm sitting here thinking about, and you're talking about LifeWise and stuff in the schools, the evil. Well, 14 years ago, right here in Mount Vernon, Ohio, we had the largest FCA in the state of Ohio. The largest. We had 6th, 7th, and 8th graders on lunch group would come in for on Tuesday in the middle of the day. We'd have about 150 kids come in that room. They choose the Christian athlete program instead of going out to recess. Freshwater and I got the opportunity to do that for years. He also, on a Friday morning at 7 a.m. in high school, would have 125 kids showing up to hear about Jesus. So they come in and spent $1.3 million to destroy FCA, destroy the lives of them kids, can't talk about Jesus in this school and ruin John's life.
So right here, under the watchful eye of Mount Vernon Nazarene University, which isn't 100 yards up the street.
Yeah, and the superintendent of the school was a Nazarene University graduate. The churches sit back, let it happen. So now here we are. We're basically, it's part of child trafficking. You just take them little kids, put them on that school bus, truck them down to that building, hide them in there, teach them little kids. They're not going to talk about Jesus in the school. So now they're indoctrinating them that way and say, look, we won't allow them in here. And the churchgoers go along with it and think it's just all wonderful.
We teach Christian children through LifeWise Academy that they're separate and unique and pull them. They're a little bit weird. We're going to pull you away from everybody else here, right? Can two walk together lest they agree? Can they? Can all this done in the watchful eye of Christians believing that the separation of church and state doesn't mean that the church is authority over the state. They think the state's the authority over the church. What a confusion we have. Well, look, hey, look at Catholicism. Look at that guy, God rest his soul. He ain't no Christian. Come on now. We're no Christian. The Pope spoke out against being born again. Did you know that? Calling Jesus a personal savior. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? If that's what's happening in the Catholic Church? Yeah.
Coach, I always say this. You know what? The LGBT come out of the closet, and all the Christians ran in there, churchgoers, ran in there and hid in the closet. So now right. We're teaching them little kids on LifeWise, go hide in the closet.
Go hide in the closet. Well, that's right. Or we'll talk about Jesus off campus here. We're a cult. Randy, come on in.
Coach, I believe this is their finest hour. Oklahoma.
I do too, bud.
Oklahoma is just about to have enacted into law a resolution that says Christ is king over Oklahoma.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's going to pass, I think, this week in the legislature or the Senate, when I can't remember, but so coach, are we really living in a time of gloom and doom, or are we living in a time when the church is going to finally stand up and use to take the authority that God has given us and be the light of the world, be the salt of the earth? That's what I see coming. I see us winning. I don't see us losing. I mean, that
Randy, the whole new
you got to choose. Coach Elijah said, When he's going to showcase God's glory and his power right in front of Baal and all of the evil going on in the culture, much like it is today, he said to the people, he looked at them and he said, how long are you going to falter between two opinions?
That's right.
That's all it is, Coach. We either believe we're going to win or we're going to lose, and that's the opinion of the church. You're going to choose one, and you got to, if you don't see it like we see it, and that's winning, then you're going to be no good to anybody. That's right. Where we're at, Coach, right now. It's no different now than it was 2,000 years ago. We have to see that we are the light, that we
advancing
are the salt,
a kingdom.
And we can change it.
Randy, we are advancing a kingdom. See, folks, look, again, I don't want to.
It just takes a little bit of work, Coach.
Come on, man. Can Jesus come if we're advancing the kingdom rather than losing? Can Jesus come? I think he can. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, right? Come on, man. Come on. What has happened to American Christianity? Do we really believe what we claim to believe? All power is given unto him. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever and ever. Not Washington. Not Trump, not Kamala, not the Congress, certainly not John Roberts in the Supreme Court. What is going on, friends? And this would be so easy. This would be such an easy victory. This would be such an easy victory. Huh? Did you say, come on now? They arrested those guys, those J6ers. Why did they arrest those J6ers? Because they were Christians. They're Christians. And not all of them, but most of them were. They were Christians. They wanted to see righteous government restored. And what happened? The wicked government arrested them, broke them. And what does the church say? Well, shouldn't get involved. They shouldn't have. I warned them. They shouldn't have gone there. I mean, we're so pathetic. We're so stinking pathetic. I'm really not mad. I'm not. I'm disappointed. Shouldn't be like this. Shouldn't be like this. Somebody come on in. Help me out here. Help me out here. This could be your finest hour.
Coach, Jeff Klein, what he's doing up there. It looks like he's losing, but he's not, Coach.
Not losing.
It looks not like losing. We're losing here. We're not, because you don't judge what you see. You judge what God says, Coach. You judge what he's saying he's doing. And that's why we did the courts in Oklahoma. Look, we went to the state capitol, Coach. We did something. Something changed in the heavenlies there when we did it. It just takes some time to see the manifestation. We have to understand that when we do something by faith and we declare and we decree and we speak and we proclaim and we fast, that something's changing. And if we don't believe it, why are we doing it? I mean, is Jesus really the Lord? Is he our shepherd or not? We hear his voice or not. He said, is she his sheep? Hear his voice. Look, maybe you're not one of his sheep. Maybe that's why you don't hear his voice, Coach. I don't know.
Yep. So, Randy, here's what's going on, folks. They're running out the clock on Trump. So what? Yeah. Delay. And soon they'll be into the midterm elections, and they'll hope to politically win back the House so that none of Trump's agenda gets through, whatever Trump's agenda, none of it gets through. And so we got all these wicked, wicked judges. Friends, does that local, help me out, a district judge have authority over the President of the United States? Think about that. Some local appointed judge in Columbus, Ohio, he can override the will of the President of the United States? Tell me that's not so. But see, they've seized the courts, right? They have. All but clear back since 1947, even before that, but Everson versus the Board of Education, when they said that Christianity in public was unconstitutional. That's when it started. And look what's going on in the universities. And Trump's in trouble because why? He wants to defund Harvard. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, how much money is Harvard getting a year? Oh, no, pull up Harvard's endowment. Harvard's endowment, which, by the way, Harvard used to be a seminary. You knew that, didn't you? Harvard, their endowment. How much is their endowment? Meaning money they have in the bank. Money sitting in the bank is what? $53 billion. And we continue to fund Harvard? What? Christian people continue to fund Harvard? Harvard? $53 billion in the bank. What's it cost to go to Harvard? A lot. And Trump says, we're going to quit giving money to Harvard because they're anti-Christ. Although he didn't say that, that's what he's saying. We're not going to continue to fund Harvard, Yale, all these places. They got plenty of money on their own. Let people come to college free. Let them come to college free for a while till we draw down that $53 billion endowment. God, wake up, man. The Harvard University endowment valued at $53.2 billion. That's money in the bank, folks. Money in the bank, folks. And we continue to fund them. Hey, see if you can find this, Spencer. How much are we giving Harvard per year? How much is the federal government? No wonder they're screaming. No wonder they're screaming. How much government money is going to Harvard every year? Let's see. He's going to find it. I should have had this ready. No, I didn't know I was going to go there. Yeah. Federal government money. Harvard funding works. Yeah. The federal government provided Harvard universities, including $8.7 billion in multi-year grant and $255 million. However, as of April 25th, the Trump administration has frozen. Trump says we ain't giving them $2.2 billion. We ain't giving it to them this year. We ain't giving it to them. And who's screaming and hollering? Harvard and all the people that they programmed. all the people they indoctrinated, all the Harvard graduates that are in government, all of them. Trump says, that's it. We're cutting it off. They're anti-American, anti-Christ, and boy, are they screaming. Eileen Tess, quickly.
And then I just heard that now the Harvard president is suing Trump for blocking the grants, the funding.
$2.2 billion, Eileen. $2.2 billion this year to Harvard. What is that? What is that? Folks, what is that? They got an endowment. $50 billion money in the bank. And the government gives them $2.2 billion. And then, help me out here. Hey, Spencer, what's it cost to go to Harvard? What's tuition at Harvard? This is where I think Doge ought to be looking. Just put in tuition, Harvard tuition. $54,000 for a student to go to Harvard. Something wrong here, isn't there, folks? $54,000 for a student to go to Harvard. Hey, Elon, check out Doge, will you? George, come on in.
Hopefully with that happening, that it'll at least slow down the progressive liberal movement, because that's all they do.
They become government. George, they become government. Harvard, Yale, the Ivy, they become government.
Skull and bones.
Skull and bones. What do they call that? Hey, put the Pope back up there again for me. That first thing we showed for those of you who are late tuning in today. Pull that back up there, Spencer. You tell me there isn't something wicked going on here. You tell me there isn't something wicked going on in all, dare I say it, all centralized religion. Spencer, can you pull that back up? It says satanic. Again, huh? They keep calling us conspiracy theorists. What is this?
The three pillars are down now. The three pillars are down.
What do you mean, George?
The three pillars are the
pillars.
Pillars. The Vatican, the Queen, and Washington, D.C. All three of them.
Bam.
Oh, baby. What a time to be alive, church. What a time to be alive. Who are they? Who, folks, is this enlightenment? Is this like Christianity to you? Is this uplifting to Jesus? Put a black mask on your head. Boy, if we look at those upside down cross, somebody help me. Is that an upside down cross or not? Wow. Vinny, come on in here. Hurry up, Vinny. We got 3 minutes.
You got it. Well, I'll make it real quick. Did you hear the other day on Fox News? They mentioned the red shoes on.
I didn't hear that. I did. Oh, my goodness, huh? Hey, folks, Devil's got a team. Devil's got a team, and they are on the march. And God has a team, but we are in retreat. We're in retreat. We yield. Everywhere we look, we yield to the government. Craig.
Well, if you pull that picture back up, you said the upside-down cross. What was in the center of that upside-down cross? Looks like to me a rooster. Didn't a rooster crow 3 times that Peter denied? Okay, this is mockery. I mean, when you start to look for it, and you say, okay, why would you wear that? And what is the symbolic in it? They're mocking God.
Yes, they are. They are. Folks, does that in any way look holy or righteous to you? Huh? We're at war, baby. This will be our finest hour. Hurry up, Angie. Close us out.
Sorry, I just wanted to let you know that upside down cross and that rooster might be more symbolic of Peter than anything else, because Peter was hung upside down on an upside down cross. And that could be where that symbolism pulled in from.
Yep. Amen. Amen. So look, what we talked about the other day, religious tradition, where did it come from? That's all I'm asking. Where did that tradition come from? Some traditions are good. Some traditions, not so good. What time to be alive. This will be our finest hour. See you tomorrow.